T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. Kevin, welcome back.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
Now, Kevin, I had asked you to come on to discuss other things, but we got to start with the top story, and that is this investigation into Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns. Can you explain to the listeners what's going on?
Well, as you know, Mickey was running a reelection campaign for clerk last year. And it was about 3 weeks out or so from the election. It was mid-October. And as I was driving into work, I was listening to Brian and Susan, and an ad came on. And it was Mickey, start off, hi, this is County Clerk Mickey Kearns. And then he talked about veterans and all the service and how we have to honor that and what. And I said, this is a great campaign ad. It's targeting veterans. That's an important demographic when you're running a campaign. It's great. But then at the end of it, there was no paid for by friends of Mickey Kearns or whatever. There was no anything. I said, what happened there? Did they just leave off the tagline? Did Erie County pay for that out of his clerk's budget? Or did WBEN just do a public service announcement? So I got in and I asked my staff to look into it, and they didn't find an invoice for that yet. That came later. But what they did find was a bunch of other invoices for other radio ads, radio show on another station. They found ads, print ads, in a number of papers, as well as programs. You know, you go to the dinner for this group or that group, and they get you to buy an ad in the program. And it was all paid for with county funds. And I said, geez, you know, no one does that. No other public officials do that. I don't do that. When I'm asked to buy an ad in a program, or, you know, I do a print ad, I pay for it myself. And I said, even though it was all the print ads, or at least most of them, were, you know, Renew Local or some other message that benefited the county clerk's office, and probably did benefit Erie County. You know, they all spiked around election time, either the primary or the general election. And I said, that's just not right. I didn't do anything about it because I didn't want to insert myself into the campaign. At least I didn't do anything right away. I didn't want to become James Comey, the FBI director, who was all over the Clinton-Trump race in 2016. I didn't want to do that. So I waited till the campaign was over. And then I called Mickey and I told him I thought it was wrong to run those ads the way he did, because it publicized his campaign. And I told him that, and then I sent him a letter and I asked him, for help in drafting new regulations for the county to outlaw that sort of thing in the future going forward. I mean, there's nothing we could do about it now, but going forward, I wanted to change that. Well, in the process of drafting those regulations, we kicked it around the office, and some people thought we could just do it via a memo from me saying this is our accounting policy and we're not going to accept these ads for payment anymore, or we had to go local law, and I was leaning towards a local law, go through the legislature. We hired a young man in December who was a lawyer, and he does a lot of our legal opinions as well as a lot of other work. And he came back to us in a few days and said, you know, you really don't need to do this because there's already a law that outlaws this. It's the public officers law, section 73B says that you can't use government funds to pay for ads in which an elected official's voice or photo or video appears. And it was already there. And then there were fines attached to that and the like. So it was like, huh, You know, who knew? I mean, I knew that it was wrong. I didn't know that it was illegal, but I did now. So I put out a memo to January 5th. Didn't hold a press conference or anything. I didn't even mention Mickey's name in the memo. I just sent it to all elected officials. And I told them that no longer would we be processing invoices for any type of advertising, print ads, video ads or whatever, or radio ads that included the voice or the likeness of the elected official. I said it's public officer's law 73B covers that, and it's illegal. So I let everybody know, because I don't think most people knew about that, and maybe the reason was because no one did it, so it was never a question. But I wanted to make sure everyone knew going forward. I said, from this date, January 5th, I'm not paying anymore. Well, a week goes by, and we get some more invoices, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for more radio ads from the county clerk's office. And the staff asked me, well, what do we do? Do we pay them or not? And I said, let's look at the dates that the ads ran. And the ads ran before January 5th and before my memo went out. And I said, well, you know, let's not hurt the vendors. I mean, the radio stations in good faith ran the ads. I don't want to hold up their payments. They were run before, you know, Mickey and everybody knew that this was illegal. So let's pay them. And I paid them under protest. Then about 10 days ago or so, my accounts payable staff brings me an invoice from Mickey's office. And it's for his radio show on a different radio station for shows in January, four shows. And they all ran after, my January 5th memo. And I said, it was for like $900 for the four shows. And I said, we're not paying this. And I sent Mickey an email, and then I sent him a letter, or I sent the station a letter, the other station, with and copied Mickey on it, saying, you know, we can't process this. This is illegal. And that's where things stand. So going forward, I hope we won't be talking about this much more, because I think everybody knows now that you can't do this. And if you do it, my office won't process the payment.
All right. And we have reached out to Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns, who will join us next week on Hardline to give his view. Kevin, as we move on, you are the comptroller, and you know Erie County politics in and out, and Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz is running for re-election. What are your thoughts on the county executive, what he's done, and his re-election bid?
Well, I think he's been a good county executive, definitely, and I saw that firsthand last year when we went to the ratings agencies for a bond rating upgrade, or in effect the county's credit rating. I mean, we got an upgrade to a double A at the depths of the red and green budget crisis. I think we were down to BBB-, and over the years, because of sound budgeting practices, not just by Mark but by the legislature, we've put the county in a better position. I know, as a county legislator representing Grand Island and the Tonawandas for 12 years before I became comptroller, one of the things I was most interested in was upgrading the county road system, which, again, red and green budget had just decimated it. And I think by the time I left office last year to assume the comptroller's office, I was pretty pleased with the roads, especially in the town of Tonawanda, the county roads, and the ones in Grand Island. I think we've come a long way, and Mark has prioritized that, and certainly I was thankful for that, as well as the people that travel those roads. We've still got a ways to go, but I think we've made a heck of a lot of progress. So I think you know, he's deserving of re-election. As you mentioned in the previous segment, he is going to be primaried by Nate McMurray. I think a lot of people are taking that, are not taking that challenge seriously. I think they do so at their own peril. I mean, yes, Nate has lost his last couple elections, but it was in a very, very Republican area. And for a Democrat, I think he did as well as could be expected, maybe even better in some cases. You know, I mean, you need to go no further than a couple years ago, Mayor Brown getting surprised by India Walton in the primary. And I'm sure that the polling cars people are or at least I would hope they were wary of that and you know, guard against that. So, you know, you're going to have a primary. Petitions will hit the street for nominating candidates on February 28th, which is just it's a week from Tuesday. It's 9 days from now. So people are going to see the campaign start ramping up. As you mentioned earlier, the Republicans haven't decided on their candidate yet. It's not clear who that's going to be. You know, I'm obviously like everybody else waiting to hear how that turns out.
Kevin, as I always mention, you have a unique perspective because you are a former Republican during the time of Mark Poloncarz's terms as county executive. So looking at, you know, the people out there on the Republican side, do you see anyone, and you might not want to answer this because you might not want to give them an idea, but do you see anyone that could pose a credible challenge to the county executive?
Well, I think any serious candidate could pose a credible challenge. I mean, credible challenges is what our democracy is built on. So, you know, from a democratic standpoint, small d, as in democracy, you would hope that there'd be a spirited race. You would hope that they wouldn't just hand it over to the Democratic candidate any more than you'd hope that the Democrats would hand something to the Republican candidates. Having said that, who's out there? I mean, I hear Mickey Kearns is mentioned. I'm not sure, given the latest revelations about this advertising mess, whether, you know, that's going to hurt his chances. The other person out there that's mentioned is Ed Rath. I served with Ed in the county legislature for a dozen years. He certainly knows county government, and his name is already on the building.
That's right. You just wrote his campaign ad.
Yeah, that's right. My name's I would think that I'm sure Ed would have a better reason for electing him than, hey, my name's on the building already. Of course, his grandfather was first county executive.
Now, you know, Kevin, obviously the Bill Stadium has been since COVID, right? Post COVID, the Bill Stadium has been a majority of the talk that's gotten a lot of the press, especially with the county executive. Do you think this election season we are going to see whoever his opponent is, and maybe even Nate McMurray in a primary, but whoever his opponent on the Republican side is, trying to look at how tight this Bills agreement is with the new stadium?
Yeah, I think an opponent would be foolish to do otherwise. That's certainly something that resonates with people, something certainly people are talking about. I mean, there are a lot of things that could be big issues in county government, like the question of how much enhanced FMAP money we're getting from the state, which we may talk about in a few minutes if you want to talk about the state budget. But people really that doesn't resonate with people. People have no idea what that is, and it would take a lot of education to get them up to speed. Everybody knows that we've got a football team in town. Everybody has an opinion about that stadium, whether they agree with the county executive or not. And certainly if a challenger wants to make some noise, they could talk about the stadium.
Now, I do want to talk about that state budget, and I want to start with the part that's getting the most noise and work backwards. Obviously, this gas ban is getting a lot of the attention out of the state budget. And we saw with the Erie County legislator have a resolution to say, wait a minute, let's take a few steps back, to the point we had, you know, Tim Myers, legislator, majority leader, on this program saying, you know, right now going all electric is just not realistic with the grid. What are your thoughts on this proposal to ban natural gas by 2030?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm confused, which says a lot. I mean, I'm the Erie County Comptroller, and I really can't get my hands around the whole issue. I talked to a lot of people. I've talked to state assemblymen, state senators, And I really don't know what's going on. Some of them will poo-poo it, and they'll say, no, that's never going to happen. Others will say, you know, this is the people downstate driving the bus, and they're for it, and it may happen. On a personal note, I'm the night before the blizzard, my furnace conked out. And I'm thinking, you know, they've got this thing coming and it's going to be the worst and I got to do something. Fortunately, Roy's Plumbing saved the day, and I'm not being compensated by Roy's Plumbing, but they came out in the middle of the night and fixed the furnace, and thank God they did, because a lot of people were out of power, as you know, and some of them didn't make it. And I'm glad that I wasn't one of them. I'm sad that so many other people couldn't say the same. So I'm looking at replacing my furnace either this year or next year. And I don't know what to do. Do I go gas? Do I get a heat pump? I mean, there are big decisions, and I got to believe I'm not the only one asking themselves this question. So what I'm hoping for, if nothing else, with the state budget or shortly thereafter, is some clarity on all this so we can plan our futures.
Yeah, I think people would like that, Kevin. And also, you know, the automobile gas ban that goes into effect 2035. So much and so many questions. Also, looking through this budget, where does the county benefit? Where do some local municipalities benefit on this new budget?
Well, you know, the local municipality benefit will probably come out in the wash at the end, because a lot of things will be put in by the legislators, individual legislators representing individual areas, which will make a difference. Of course, school aid is slated to go up, I think, in the governor's budget, something like 10%, which will benefit, you know, everybody to varying degrees. The big thing that counties are concerned about is this thing I mentioned earlier about the EF map, which stands for Enhanced Federal Medical Assistance Percentage. And yes, I did read that because I can't remember what it stands for. But EF map is money that has been coming through the counties. It started with the Affordable Care Act, and it was federal money that funneled through the states, and it helped us, you know, balance our budgets, in effect, making up for some of those high Medicaid costs. Well, the budget that the governor has proposed would take away something like this year, 2023, this calendar year, $41 million in these funds from Erie County. And as the chief fiscal officer of the county, I go, yikes, that's a lot of money, $41 million. One of the problems is, of course, that we're already, by the time it happens, we'd already be a quarter year through our budget. And that's one of the problems when various levels of government have different budget cycles. You know, the state runs on an April 1st to March 31st budget. The federal government operates New Year's Day, and the federal government is October 1st, and they go through September 30th. Erie County, call us old-fashioned, but we run on a calendar year budget. But again, if there are going to be changes, you know, when we made our budget last December for this calendar year, which is also our fiscal year, we assume that this money, as well as other aid, would be at the same rate that it's been. Well, that's only good for the first 3 months of the state budget. If they change this now, you know, we've got, you know, 9 months to make up for what we're losing rather than a full year. And it, you know, it kind of catches us a little off guard. Yes. But that's why it's important that we put pressure on our state representatives and look to them to stand up for Erie County and the other municipalities.
You know, Kevin, as the comptroller, as the, you know, you see all the money spent at the county level, what do you think of the number of this budget? $227 billion, second biggest budget just under California in the country. Do you think that's justified?
Well, it everybody's going to have a different answer than that to that. If you're interested in the aid to education that we have, the schools that we have in New York, relative to some areas of the country where they don't spend as much money on their schools, then you would say yes, we do have better opportunities for our children. If you want to talk about pure size of the budget and say, you know, that's too much in taxes, you know, then you could make that case. Different people have different tastes. Some, just as different people have different tastes in cars. Some people are fine with, you know, a stripped down model of a compact car, and other people want the big pickup truck with all the bells and whistles. And the same goes for government.
Kevin, before I let you go, obviously you've been in politics, you've taught politics, you know all about United States government. We heard that President Jimmy Carter is going into hospice care. What are your thoughts on the former president?
Jimmy Carter did not have a banner term as president. He was a one-termer, had a lot of problems, the energy crisis, inflation. Obviously the Iran hostage crisis dominated his term in office. But he is probably my favorite ex-president ever. I mean, what he did after he left office, the work in Habitat for Humanity, teaching Sunday school down there in Plains, Georgia, getting involved in peace deals around the world. He put his time to good use, and he's just an incredible human being, and it saddens me to hear that his life is coming to an end. But I think it's a life that was well lived, and I think I've seen him say that he's enjoyed his life and he's done everything he could. And again, I'm saddened that he'll be passing soon.
You know, it is interesting with former President Jimmy Carter. You know, with how divisive our politics are now, no matter Republican, Democrat, it seems like someone always has something very nice to say about the person Jimmy Carter, and that is just so rare in politics these days.
Yeah, you saw the same thing. The last president I think to pass was George H.W. Bush, who everybody thought, nice guy after he got defeated by Bill Clinton in a very, very bitter, very divisive campaign, became good friends with him. That's the way it should be in politics. And unfortunately, as of late, it hasn't been the way it is.
That is true. Well, Kevin, I'm so thankful for you joining us today, and I'm sure our Mets texts will be ramping up very soon.
Absolutely, and remember my name for your show, Joe, B-Maz or Beamer, because yeah. I never hear the two of you together anymore.
Oh, well, tomorrow it will be neither B-Maz or Beamer.
Well, there's a new show title, isn't it?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.